Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, we find a wonderful passage of Scripture speaking about a wonderful characteristic in Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithfulness is one of the most needed and beneficial characteristics that a man or woman could possibly have. You may have noticed that faithfulness is a prime trait of our Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." He is the faithful God. You can count on Him to forgive you, to save you, to be long-suffering with you. You can count on Him to keep His words, to never fail in anything that He has ever promised. Read Psalms if you want to see the great testimony of the Lord's faithfulness. Even in the New Testament, we find the faithfulness of the Lord. In the book of Lamentations, we find the faithfulness of the Lord. As a matter of fact, from one of the passages in Lamentations, we get that song, "Great is thy faithfulness." The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Verse 23, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Do you know something? As we are Christians and to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be faithful. You need faithfulness in your life. And you need faithfulness in your life to be what God wants you to be. You need faithfulness in your life to be a good steward, first of all. That's what the passage says. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know what? You won't find a more faithful steward in spiritual matters than Paul the Apostle. And you won't find a more faithful steward in practical matters than Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, the presidents and the princes tried to find some way to accuse Daniel because they wanted to depose him. He was leading them and they didn't like him. They envied him. And the Bible says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Daniel wouldn't cheat. Daniel wouldn't steal. Daniel wouldn't neglect his duty. Daniel wouldn't use his position for personal gain. Daniel wouldn't take advantage of the people below him. He was faithful to discharge every responsibility that was given to him as if he were the king himself. He could be trusted with every detail entrusted to him while not neglecting his responsibilities to the Lord. Do you realize in the midst of all this that he had to do, he prayed 3 times each day, even when it became illegal to do so? That's what the presidents and the princes finally did. They convinced the king to sign off on a decree for 30 days that no man could ask petition of any other person besides the king himself, and so they knew Daniel would continue to pray. He did. And you know what? God spared him. Daniel had to go to the lion's den because that was the decree. And the next morning he came out, and it was the presidents and princes that set him up that were the ones that died in the lion's den. Why? Because Daniel was faithful. You know what? If you want to be a good steward, you're going to need faithfulness. You need faithfulness to be a good ruler. I don't know if perhaps you're in some political capacity where you govern. But I'm going to tell you something. To do your job and do it right, to rule over people, you must be faithful. In 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Then Ahimelech," he was a priest, "answered the king and said, 'And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding and is honorable in thine house?'" Do you know that David was the best king Israel ever had? And one of his most notable characteristics was his faithfulness. While he was the king's son-in-law, while he was serving the king in any capacity that the king desired, mostly military, David went at the king's bidding and was honorable in all of Saul's house. His most notable characteristic was his faithfulness. He was impeccably faithful to Saul. He would not touch the Lord's anointed. Saul was trying to kill him, and David would not retaliate. He was faithful to the Lord, though he sinned, discharging his responsibilities in accordance with all that the Lord commanded. We know what he did. But he came before the Lord and repented and confessed those things. And you know something? Discharged faithfully all the Lord commanded him to do. And so he's well complimented in the New Testament and given the sure mercies of David. You want to be a good ruler? You better learn to be faithful. We got a lot of people in positions of authority today who are not faithful. They lie. They do not discharge their responsibilities properly. They do not serve as statesmen and stateswomen. They serve for political expediency. Not a good thing at all. You need faithfulness to be a good steward. You need faithfulness to be a good ruler. You need faithfulness to be a good leader. Perhaps you lead in an organization or lead in a business. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7 speaks about Moses. Numbers 12, verse 7 says, "My servant Moses is not so." Watch it. This is the Lord's commendation of his man. He says, "Who is faithful in all mine house." Moses was a servant of the Lord and one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had. He was faithful to do God's will, to stand before Pharaoh, even though he really was scared to do it, to lead Israel out of Egypt and up to the promised land. He put up with them for 40 years and watched everybody over 20 years old die because of their sin when they got into the wilderness and when they wouldn't go into the promised land 38 years before. He was faithful to stand against Israel's enemies, to intercede for Israel in all of her sins, and to see to it that every provision for the tabernacle was made in exact accordance with God's commands. When you read in the book of Exodus and you get to the end of that book, you just keep reading over and over again, "As the Lord commanded Moses, as the Lord commanded Moses." What he's saying? He's saying, "I gave Moses this to do, and he did it as the Lord commanded Moses." He was faithful. The reason that he was such a good leader is that he was faithful to follow the Lord in everything the Lord commanded him to do, and then turn around and do it exactly as the Lord commanded toward the people. I realize all men are sinners, and he struck that rock twice when he wasn't commanded to do that. He was commanded to speak to the rock. But let me tell you something. It's the exception that proves the rule. There was a purpose even behind that. You see, because you can't get to the promised land, heaven, by keeping the law. You got to have Jesus typified by Joshua, to take you in there by faith. All the Lord, I'm telling you, is perfect in all of his ways, and what he desires is faithful men and women. You need faithfulness to be a good steward, to be a good ruler, to be a good leader. You need faithfulness to be a good minister. Perhaps you're in some capacity ministering in some way, in volunteering in your church or volunteering in some organization in order to minister to other people. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35 says about Samuel, I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Well, Samuel was one of the best priests and one of the best prophets that Israel ever had, and he was especially noted for his faithfulness. He did all that was in God's heart. He did all that was in God's mind. Notice how I stressed it when I read it. He said about the faithful priest, he shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. In other words, as a minister, he's not trying to build up his own ministry in the name of the Lord, or trying to get his own following in the name of the Lord, or do as Eli and Eli's sons did and take advantage of the ministry for their personal benefit and personal gain. No, he said, he did all that was in God's heart, all that was in God's mind. He never did what was in his own heart and mind. Now, when you read in the New Testament, you keep reading about Paul's companions, and you read about some faithful ministers in the New Testament who ministered the Word of God faithfully, whether they were ministering to the lost, trying to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to the saved. And Paul makes special note of these men. He talks about Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. He also talks about Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. He speaks about Tychicus again, a beloved brother and faithful minister. And he speaks about Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Do you see these outstanding characteristics? Paul himself was faithful. Faithfulness is the reason that God chose Paul to be a minister to the uncircumcision, in spite of his past, because God knew that he could count on Paul to risk his own life to get the gospel to those who had not heard. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." God did that because he knew that Paul was faithful. You want to be a minister? Then be a good minister. How do you do that? Be faithful. You go to church every time the doors are open. You read your Bible every day. You pray every day. You serve in every capacity that your pastor asks you to serve. You do all those things that can be done that the Lord wants you to do. And let me tell you something, and you will be a faithful minister and a good minister. You need faithfulness to be a good minister. You need faithfulness to be a good disciple. Listen, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul laid out how we are to get the gospel from generation to generation and from ourselves to others. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2, 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," watch it, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." To faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful ministers need faithful men whom they can train in the ministry to carry on the work of the Lord to others and to carry on the work of the Lord to other generations. Without faithful disciples, this whole ministry comes to an end. We have missionaries on the foreign field, and they'll say, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And I know what they're asking for is more missionaries to come from the United States to help, and I'm for that. But I'll tell you something else. When I pray for them, I pray that God will use them as good ministers to train good disciples who are faithful, so that they can train their own laborers, and then God can send them into the harvest. Listen, if a man on a foreign field can train a person who already knows the culture, who already knows the language and can support himself by ministering the gospel in other places there, then it saves all of that time on deputation, all of that need to learn the language, all of that culture shock, all of that travel, all of that immigration work, training laborers on the foreign field. You know what it takes? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. A good minister needs a good disciple, and both of them need to be faithful. I'll tell you something else. You need faithfulness to be a good preacher. That's right. To be a good preacher, you need faithfulness. Listen, people say, well, I believe I want to preach. So what do? They say, we're going to go to some Bible school or going to go to some seminary in order to learn how to preach. Well, if you're not faithful, don't even bother. And if you're faithful, you may not be the best student. You say, I'm an excellent student. Well, if you're not faithful, you're a washout. You say, I'm not a very good student, but I'm faithful. Then join the crowd, because when Peter and John and the disciples were preaching in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says the Pharisees knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they knew they'd been with Jesus. There are far too many scholars, too many people quoting Greek, quoting Hebrew, trying to act like big shots with all of what they understand from their reading of commentaries and things. Listen, to be a good preacher, what you need first and foremost is faithfulness. Jeremiah 23:28 speaks about prophets, and those were the Old Testament preachers. Look what he says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, watch it, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? To be a good preacher, a man must speak God's words faithfully. He can't just give the good stuff. Oh, no. These crowd pleasers today, all they want to give you is the good stuff. They don't want to tell you anything about that Bible that's negative. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he preached on heaven. You have to preach all the counsel of God. And in order to do that, you have to be faithful to preach in season and out of season, and to preach even when they're turning away their ears from sound doctrine. They don't like to listen to it today, but don't change it. Be cafeteria style in your preaching just to appeal to the crowds. You preach what God tells you to preach. Be faithful to the Lord. I'll tell you what, it takes faithfulness more than about anything to be a good preacher. Now let's run through some more, because this list goes on and on. Listen, you need to be faithful in order to be a good witness. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. If you're truly a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you won't lie. I've known some so-called soul winners who fabricate lies in order to get meetings and to report big numbers. Listen, if they will lie to get in the door or lie to report big numbers, then they are, by definition, not a good witness, because a faithful witness will not lie. You tell the truth when you're witnessing to the lost, and then you will be a faithful witness. You say, well, I want to be able to tell them that so-and-so got saved. If so-and-so didn't get saved, don't lead so-and-so in prayer so that you can come back and say you got a profession of faith in order to get the number. You just do what God wants you to do and be a good witness. You may never see somebody saved being a good witness, but you'll be a good sower of the seed of the Word of God, and then God can get the increase when and where God is ready for the increase. Let another man reap, but don't lie. You need faithfulness to be a good man, just plain good man. You say, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I understand that. But the Bible also says about men, he said, that there'll be a lover of good men. I'm speaking in the context of his quality and character, not in his sinlessness. To be a good man, you need faithfulness. Psalm 12:1 says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. You see that? Boy, it's a tragic day when the faithful fail among the children of men, but they're failing now. One of the greatest characteristics of any man is his faithfulness. If you can find a faithful man, then you've found a good man. I'll tell you something, you're better off hiring a faithful man whom you can train than you are to hire a trained man whose faithfulness is questionable. Why? He can hurt you. In volunteer work in the church, faithfulness should be your number one concern. Is he faithful? If he's faithful, then you, listen, you can train him to be what you want him to be. You need faithfulness to be a good treasurer. People have to handle money in all kinds of situations, churches and nonprofit organizations and companies and homes. Nehemiah 13:13 says, I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zachar, the son of Mattaniah, watch it, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. These treasurers were faithful men, and could, because of their faithfulness, be trusted to carry out the responsibilities of handling money. Now I'll tell you something. Financial safeguards are an absolute necessity when dealing with money. But nothing beats faithfulness for securing the cash. In other words, you have a man questionable integrity and you got all the financial safeguards, he'll find a way to get to you. You find a man that's faithful, maybe your safeguards aren't going to be quite as good as somebody else's, but your cash will be secure. Get a good treasurer. In order to do that, you need a faithful man or a faithful woman. Listen, to be a good contractor, you need faithfulness. In 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, moreover, they reckon not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The workmen that repaired the temple during the reign of Jehoash were faithful men. There was no need to reckon with them because they dealt faithfully with their work and they dealt faithfully with their funds. They didn't overcharge. They didn't charge for things that weren't ordered for work that wasn't done. They did what they agreed to do for the price they agreed to do it. Now, you don't find many contractors like that today. I know some. You can shake hands on a deal, set the price, and what you ordered is what you get, and the price won't be any different. Unless you ordered something and changed the deal, where the contractor then had to make an adjustment to compensate for the expense. Isn't that something? A good contractor? You want a good contractor? Find a man that's faithful. Tell you something else. You need faithfulness to be a good employee. In Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Listen, when you are on the payroll for somebody else's company, you must be faithful in all that you do as if you are working for the Lord. That's the only way to get ahead legitimately. And remember that faithfulness concerns every size responsibility that is entrusted to you. You don't cut corners with little things like homework and expect to be diligent with big things like responsibilities of a job. If you cut corners on little things, you're going to cut corners on everything. And that's not going to make a good employee. You need faithfulness to be a good employee. I'll tell you something else. You need faithfulness to be a good friend. That's right. Galatians 3:9 is speaking about Abraham, and the Bible says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. No one in the Bible is more notable for his faithfulness, as far as human beings are concerned, than Abraham. And you know what Abraham was called? Abraham was called the friend of God in James 2:23. And you know what? You need to be faithful if you want to be a friend of God. And you're going to need to be faithful if you want to be a good friend to men. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than a faithful friend, somebody that you can count on through thick and thin. If you're choosing friends growing up as a young man or a young woman, you find somebody who's faithful. That's right. Oh, you say, well, I think so-and-so is more popular. Doesn't make any difference. More popular will hurt you later. Get a good, faithful friend. And be faithful. And I'll tell you something else. You need faithfulness to be a good child. In Titus 1:6, characteristics of preachers are being discussed, and it says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, watch it, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Faithful children. How desperately we need faithful children today who will abide by their parents' faith until they have matured to the point where they can grow in their own faith and live for the Lord. Children today stray from the Lord, I believe, in greater numbers than they stay for the Lord. And you say, well, what's the difference? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the key to them sticking around and growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right. Faithfulness, I'm telling you, is required in just about everything you do. It's required in good stewards. It's required in good rulers. It's required in good leaders. Faithfulness is required in good ministers, good disciples, good preachers. Faithfulness is required in good witnesses, good men, good treasurers, good contractors, good employees, good friends, good children. The thing to develop, the characteristic in your life to develop, is faithfulness. Do what you say you're going to do. Be where you say you're going to be. Carry out everything you say that you're going to agree to. And I'll tell you what, faithfulness now is rewarded later. And likewise, failing to be faithful now has huge consequences in eternity as well. Why? Jesus Christ said to his servants in Luke chapter 19, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You want to do well at the judgment seat of Christ? Be faithful. That's right. You be faithful to God and to those that are over you. And when you're faithful in something little, God will give you something bigger to do. And may God bless you as you pursue faithfulness. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.